changing the way America thinks. It's the voice of reason, Tim Constantine.
Hi, everybody. It's Tim Constantine with you on the Capitol Hill Show. Now, if you have been filling your car up at the pump lately, you will notice prices are dramatically lower than they've been for a long time. This is good news for a variety of reasons. One, it's cheaper to fill up and drive around every day when you go to work, you take your kids to school, whatever it is you do in your car, it's a little cheaper. But it's also good news because whether it's buying an airline ticket, whether it's buying a loaf of bread at the store, a lower price for fuel puts us in a better spot. The economy's been pretty tight, hasn't grown much for, well, virtually all of Barack Obama's presidency. Does this open up an opportunity for more growth? Well, some say yes, some say no. The people that are most concerned are those in the Dakotas, perhaps in West Texas, those that have been doing the shale drilling, trying to get a new and improved way of getting to oil and natural gas here in the United States. These low prices are forcing some of them to close down. So what's likely to happen in the coming weeks, months, and years? OPEC, of course, is the organization that puts together all these various states, all these various countries in the Middle East that produce oil, that serve the world. And they try to decide at different times what's in the best interest of their own business and of the world. Right now, the Saudis have been quoted in the Financial Times as saying there is no plan to cut production. You know, a week or so ago, there was talk among Russia and Qatar and others about, oh, well, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to cut production. Saudis say, nope, not right now. So I wanted to dig into what is really going to happen there. Joining me right now from Bahrain, from the Center for Strategic Studies, it is Omar El-Ubaidli. Omar, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for joining me today. Now, you dedicate your life to studying this, to having a good understanding of what is going on with OPEC and how they serve the world. What are we seeing here? When prices go down, and this is not just down, but this is way, way, way down. Market got up high a couple of years back, and it's come down, was trading strategically and stably in the $80 barrel range for a long time. But we're down into the high $20 a barrel now. This has an impact on a lot of people. It's killing some jobs, killing some business in the United States where they thought they were going to get into the game. What's happening? Why is the price as low as it is?
So there's two sets of factors that are making the price low. One of them is what we call supply side. That's on the production side. And that's because America has massively increased its production in the last 10 years or so. And in addition to that, there was some temporary, and I'll talk about 2 or 3 year disruptions to production in Iran because of sanctions, in Iraq because of the, you know, violent conflict, and in Libya. And they're all coming back online. So you've got lots of supply coming online. And then on the demand side, you've got China, which is, you know, one of the main sources of growth in demand, is going through a recession or some sort of mini economic crisis. So demand is down there. And then you've got long-term problems in the European economy, which are keeping demand depressed there. So less demand, more supply, that means low prices.
Some will say this is being done intentionally, particularly after the oil minister's comments from Saudi Arabia this past week. He said, you know, there's no intentional effort here to press prices. But then he immediately went on and said, you know, and he kind of took the United States to task and said, tough luck, essentially, if people are losing jobs, if people are closing down because the prices are so low. It seemed like a comment he didn't need to say. What is all that about? Is there intentional effort to bring the price down in order to shut the United States and other places out of the business?
So going back to the comment you made a little bit earlier about OPEC, there has been a sort of a massive overestimation or exaggeration of OPEC's ability to influence world markets in the last 30 years. We all know what they did in the 70s, but ever since, I think it's safe to say that if you actually look at the data, and as a researcher called Jeff Colgan at Brown University has looked at this, OPEC's influence is vastly exaggerated. And actually, it's just a lot of talk, there's a lot of posturing. But when you actually come down to it, more recently, oil just looks like the market for any other commodity. And much as the Saudi oil minister and any other oil minister would love to say that they're actually influencing prices and would love to imagine that they can pull levers and have a big effect on prices, the reality is that they don't have much of an effect on prices. And they all know that they don't have much of an effect on prices. And that's really what he was conveying. It's no different to Toyota, which is a Japanese car manufacturer competing with Chevrolet. You wouldn't say that Toyota is trying to drive Chevrolet out of business or launch some sort of price control attack on U.S. jobs. No, they're just trying to sell cars in a competitive market, and that's what's going on in oil at the moment. And why did he make a comment about America? That's probably more just to indicate the reality to people who are calling upon him to do something, which is that, look, this is the market. We're all in this equally. Sometimes the price suits you, sometimes it doesn't. That's just the laws of the market, simple as that.
The new shale technology has opened up some opportunities. There's a lot of untapped oil in America. If they can get to it cost effectively, that's the bottom line is, can you do that and still make a buck? But do the players in OPEC, are they concerned? I mean, America for a long time has had a ban on oil exports, but there's a lot of talk among the Republicans who now run both the Senate and the House in the United States of lifting that ban and of trying to take advantage of worldwide need. Up until a year or two ago, prices were so high that you saw places in Eastern Europe, for example, that were being overcharged by, if you had folks that were dependent on Russia, for example. Russia was taking advantage of some of their folks. The market has changed dramatically now, so perhaps exporting won't make as big of a difference. But is there a concern? Is there a genuine concern long term with OPEC if the United States of America becomes a player, a meaningful player on the world market?
So I would say that there is a concern, there's a very strong direct concern, which is that so under normal oil production, it takes several years to get a new oil field up and running. And so that's why, we've all experienced in the last 20, 30 years, when there's a supply disruption, gas prices go through the roof. Now that's almost not going to happen for sure for the foreseeable future, because shale oil technology is very, very flexible. It's very quick to get a new oil well up and running. So as soon as prices look like they're going to start increasing, you can quickly, in a matter of weeks, get new supply out there. So that's going to stop these sharp increases. And that's a concern for OPEC producers for sure, because for a lot of time, they've been happy to live off high prices caused by supply disruptions elsewhere. But in addition to that, there is a problem, which is that the U.S., is becoming self-sufficient in oil. And if you're an OPEC producer in the Middle East, the US has had, in some instances, a positive influence on security arrangements in the Middle East. And so by the US becoming self-sufficient in oil, you're seeing now that the US is being less involved in security in the Middle East. And what you're getting is some sort of unfolding of chaos because of that vacuum of power. So that's something that's a serious concern in addition to the economic one.
Agreed on a variety of levels there. Bottom line, what I hear from you is this may be the new normal. This may be around for a while. Low oil prices may be. Am I hearing you correctly?
So not as low as $30. That's something temporary because of so what happened was that the there was overshooting by the shale oil producers. They took advantage of very low interest rates and the high prices, and they kind of overshot, and they're going to go bankrupt, and they've already started going bankrupt. So there'll be some consolidation in that industry. And also, in addition to that, oil fields decrease in their output every year. And so you need to invest in order to keep output the same. All that investment, a lot of it is ground down to almost zero. So about a year from now, you'll see the effects of shale oil bankruptcies and the having zero investment in oil. Prices will start to firm up again, up to about $50, $60. But they won't really get above $50 or $60, because as soon as that happens, then the shale oil producers will be like, here we go, and they'll start up again. So the new normal is low compared to recent standards, but not really low compared to historical standards.
We do not anticipate seeing $80 or $100 a barrel again anytime in the foreseeable future.
I would be surprised, but predicting oil markets with a massive degree of confidence has made a fool of many a man. So I wouldn't go so far as to say it was not going to happen, but it would be very surprising if it went above 80 for sure.
Fair enough. Omar Al Ubaidli, thank you very much. He's from the Bahrain Center for Strategic Studies. I appreciate the input, my friend.
My pleasure.
The Capitol Hill Show.